This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a returning guest. He was back on the show back in January the 19th. We're talking about Luxeria Bioscience Corp. Well, they trade on the OTCQB, ticker symbol LXRP. Their stock's been fluctuating between $1.38 to $1.45. With us today is the CEO of the company. He's going to tell us what they've been doing for the last 30 to 60 days, and we're going to get an update on that, and that's no other than Chris Bunka. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, Everett. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here as always.
You know, we've gotten a lot of new listeners here in the last 30 or 60 days. If you don't mind, give us a little bit about statement of who you guys are and how you make your money.
Okay, so the base of the company is we are a biotech company. We've done a lot of R&D over the last few years, and we have invented a patented new drug delivery technology platform. What that means is we can take various different substances. We don't particularly care if it's a cannabinoid like THC or CBD. We don't care if it's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory like ibuprofen or aspirin. We don't even care if it's a fat-soluble vitamin or even something like nicotine. To us, they're all very similar. And all of those active ingredients we are able to process with our technology. We're able to kind of defeat the body's sensory mechanisms to be able to smell it or taste it or detect those ingredients. And we're able to sneak them into your bloodstream more effectively than they could otherwise get there. And what that means for consumers on the street is things made with our tech taste better. They act way more quickly for pain relief or for psychoactivity for people who are cannabis aficionados, and they're much more effective. They get to your bloodstream at a much higher rate, and I don't mean 20% more effectively or 40% more effectively, which is not bad in itself. I'm talking 300, 400, 500% more effectively, i.e., in theory, a 100 milligram Advil type tablet with our tech would provide as much pain relief as a 500 milligram tablet without our tech. So those are the benefits. That's what we do.
Well, you know, I asked you to come on the show because there's been a lot of new contracts, talk about in your technology and everything. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was your license in the cannabis business with NutraSci International Inc. Where are we at in the process of that? And if you can elaborate a little bit on where we're going from here.
NutraSci license just got kind of altered. We've looked at a couple of different sort of styles for that agreement. And the most recent one that we've come up with is more of a licensing deal, which is more typical for us, typical for what we do as compared to what we had with them previously. They've developed a particular product format that is a mouth-dissolving, kind of sublingual and absorbing product format, and we have given them licensing rights to use our tech in that particular format, non-exclusively, but worldwide, to be able to use that. And I don't think they're quite ready for a product launch yet, because for the CBD style products, you need certain approvals in different jurisdictions and so on. But certainly they've got time to do that, and it could be a good product format going forward.
You know, you previously talked about the various laboratory and academic studies in the planning stage. Can you give us an update on those, especially on one of your products, the hemp oil capsules and the dehydrate tech?
Yeah, you know, it's an important component, because for investors, because if you look back at the last, 18 months or so of our history, the really big permanent or semi-permanent valuation changes in our company have come in relationship with new IP, intellectual property, with new patent awards or with new studies that we do. And the industry is recognizing that some of the work we're doing is quite cutting edge and has really broad and significant commercial application. So when we develop new IP, people are really paying attention. to that end, we have three different sets of studies, either started or about to be started, or in the very advanced planning stages, each of which could be material to the valuation of the company. One of them, we've talked about all of these publicly, so I can give some information, although I can't give everything. One of them was a skin-based study. We've talked about the idea in the past that we want to see if our Dehydratec delivery technology will also work for skin-based delivery systems, as well as the existing proven and patented gastrointestinal delivery system, so i.e. a sunscreen, a skin cream, something that you could rub onto your skin as opposed to the current products, which are all something that you put into your mouth and swallow. That study has already started. We're very, very pleased with the preliminary results that we're looking at already, and we hope to have news out on that study in the next several weeks. Another study we've talked about is nicotine absorption. Most of the work we've done in the lab that is of particularly high value in the past has been with cannabidiol, the non-psychoactive form ingredient within cannabis or hemp. The upcoming nicotine study is with lab animals, and it is to test the absorption of nicotine into the bodies of these little lab rats utilizing our technology, and does our technology offer improvements. There's two really important factors here, and this is vital for listeners to realize. There are two different outcomes that we are measuring. One family of outcome is gastrointestinal distress or lack thereof. If you think about it, if you think about all the things you can buy in a store, you cannot buy a form of nicotine that you swallow. There's no nicotine coffee, there's no nicotine foods, there's no nicotine edible products or capsules. And the reason is because the human digestive system generally doesn't like nicotine. It recognizes it as an invader or a foreign substance, and it says, get the heck out of here. The result, in plain language for people like us, is that you're going to get intestinal cramping and often even diarrhea if you were to swallow large amounts or significant amounts of nicotine. So our technology that effectively builds a Trojan horse around that active ingredient, we theorize, will hide the nicotine from the cellular detection mechanism in the gut that would provoke that response. In other words, there should not be much, if any, negative gastrointestinal distress. So that's one set of data that we're going to be collecting in the lab to see if the rats tolerate the nicotine with our technology. The second set is what's called the PK curve, the pharmacokinetic data, that is very, very familiar in pharma, biotech, in the drug industry. And that is basically where we're taking blood samples and tissue samples from these animals on very pre-prescribed time intervals, certain number of minutes after ingestion, going on for a certain period of time, and we will build a curve, we'll build plot a graph with how much of the nicotine is in their blood at a particular time period. We'll also be measuring for nicotine metabolites. A metabolite is something that comes out of your liver after your liver has transformed or processed an ingredient. So you eat food, it goes in your stomach, gets across the intestinal wall, ends up going into the liver, where it gets processed before it's released to the bloodstream. So measuring those metabolites will tell us how much of the nicotine is being processed by the liver versus how much of the nicotine is bypassing the liver, potentially, and dumping into the lymphatic circulatory system. And that is a very important piece of data for us, because if we can bypass first-pass liver absorption, which we theorize we do accomplish to some degree, then it helps to avoid the common liver and kidney diseases associated with some of these substances. For example, you would be aware yourself, there's something like 10,000 Americans die every year from taking over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen and aspirin.
Okay.
It's a remarkable number. And 100,000 people that go to the hospital from gastric bleeding. It causes bleeding. It causes kidney disease. It causes problems. If we're able to bypass first-pass liver absorption, then it means we can reduce the dose that's required to deal with the pain or the inflammation, the reason it's taken in the first place, and we can reduce the amount that builds up in the liver, which can help to ameliorate those disease conditions. So it's very early days, but these are things we're going to be testing for in the nicotine study, and that study will be getting started almost any day. So as of this moment, the start date is fluid, but it's very, very imminent. And then the third and final study that we can talk about right now, we have other ones in the planning stages. We had announced last fall a clinical human study for cannabidiol with our Turbo CBD capsulated product at the University of British Columbia. Now, we ran into some regulatory red tape, into some issues, and we have since moved that study to a new institution outside of North America. We're not ready at this time to disclose where it is, but that study is now back on track. We're really, really happy. In fact, we've improved it in a certain number of ways, the study design, and we expect it to begin in the month of April in a different location. And once that has started, we'll talk more about that. So bottom line, those three studies, each one of those has the potential to be a real, you know, a game changer in the valuation of the company, and a bit of an evolution or a game changer in the types of products or the types of companies that could use our tech. Obviously, the nicotine study, for example, is of little interest to the cannabis world, but it's of a lot of interest, perhaps, to the tobacco industry. Likewise, the cannabidiol study is not of that much interest to the nicotine industry, but it's of a hell of a lot of interest to the cannabis industry. So these are three more studies that are coming up or ongoing that should give us imminent news and developments, and we have to cross our fingers and hope that it's positive. We certainly think that at least some of it will be, and help to improve our valuations over that kind of 60, 90-day time period.
Chris, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. With the bioactive compounds and the proprietary technology and the patents you have, when do you think you'll have a product out there that will actually generate revenues and fall on the balance sheet?
Well, that's a great question, and it should be one of the first ones that investors ask. So in a sense, we already do, and not in a sense. In fact, we already do. So we make a product in the United States called Turbo CBD. You can find it at www.turbo-cbd.com, and it is a pill form, a capsule form of CBD with ginseng and ginkgo, and that capsule has our technology inside. So that's one example. Another example is if you live in the state of Colorado and you are a cannabis user, we have a licensee there, and we have had for 18 months. And that's a company called 1906 Chocolates, and they make a very highly regarded, in fact, award-winning cannabis chocolate that utilizes our tech. So that's another example. We just signed another contract with another company in Southern California that's going to be making a seasoning or a spice-based THC product coming up. That one's not quite ready. So we do have some products out there, and most of our revenue is now generated from technology licensing revenue. So we have transitioned the company that, although consumer products still matter to us, and they will for probably forever, right now, on a day-to-day basis, I think around 75 to 80% of our revenue is coming from technology licensing as opposed from consumer products. So the company's evolving, but and our revenue numbers are very, very tiny. Listen,
right.
You know, last year we did, I can't remember, I think we did $60,000. So we've only just graduated from the demonstration phase. I can tell you, though, that the contracts we're signing now, the latest contracts, these are typically six-figure contracts in the first year, and potentially seven-figure contracts over the life of the contract. So they're becoming bigger, they're becoming more interesting to us, and obviously we hope to add a half a dozen or a dozen more of them as the year progresses. And you can see, when you're talking six-figure contracts, a half a dozen start to add up.
Absolutely.
Coming, yeah.
Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You said a lot. I think you said it all. Chris Bunka has been our guest today, CEO of Luxaria Bioscience Corp. Take a look at him. They're trading on the OTCQB, ticker symbol LXRP. Chris, thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully you'll come back in about 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
Happy to do it. We'll have a lot of developments by then.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.